What's that? Awesome. Good morning, Streams. I want to give everyone fair warning that we're going to be looking at the subject of dominion through our praise and our worship. Part of that has to deal, the subject matter is so great and vast that I've broken it down to just four areas for us. And in those four areas, it has to deal with our confession, has to deal with our ability to listen. Not only listen, but be obedient to what God is instructing us. And our obedience to what he says is in direct correlation to us attaining victory. Amen? So today we're going to talk about our confession. A lot of us, and I've been listening to a lot of people in their prayer life and what they're saying. And what I want to do is try to adjust us a little bit, because I know to make a big leap of faith takes the Lord's doing, not mine. So I want to just kind of like start us aligning with what God is saying to us individually and collectively as a church. Confession has two basic definitions, and we are well aware of the first one is the acknowledgement of sin. It is to declare that we are sinful and declare it in such a way that it's through one's admission. In other words, if a criminal goes to a court, he either has the right to say that he's innocent or he declares that he's guilty. And most of the time, people who go to court are guilty of some sort of violation. And so they either declare to the judge, I'm guilty or not guilty. The second one is a little bit more important to us in that it is a public declaration of a relationship with God. An allegiance to him, joyfully submitting to his lordship. And most of us don't see the importance of us making confession about our relationship to Jesus Christ, because after all, God knows everything. He knows I'm committed to him. He knows my heart. He knows my condition. He knows everything about me. So why do I need to confess? Well, the confession is not towards God. The confession is to remind you of your commitment to him. But a lot of times we confess to God, and we will direct it to intercessory prayer, how much of a worm we are, how much we have missed what God has said to us, how much we don't implement into our lives. And God knows all that. That's why he went to the cross, to save us from ourselves. And so we need to adjust our thinking, to adjust what we're saying to agree with God. Amen? So our confession really is to publicly declare a relationship with God. No matter who asked us, the scriptures tell us real clear that we are to be ready in season and out of season to give an account as to what we believe and who we believe in. Are you ready? We should all be ready. I know I've taken a lot of the leaders to lunch or dinner with me, and they see me working in the restaurant trying to strike up a conversation, because I'm not ashamed of what Jesus has done for me. And I want them to begin to see and take that opportunity that there are people out there who are hungry and thirsting after what you have, but have not heard how simple it is to just come to God and really allow him to pour out his love. The second confession is more of a confession of reality, not of mental assent. Think about it for a second. A lot of us confess a whole bunch of lot of things, but is it our reality? One of the things we did with Truth Project is what you believe really, do you believe in what you believe as true? And it really causes us to think about our reality in Jesus Christ, but also our reality to who we are becoming in Jesus Christ. And so it comes to a point of, do I really believe what I believe? Because if you don't believe that Jesus died on a cross for you, paid for your sins, fulfilled the penalty that God exacts for breaking the law, then what do you believe? Because it's real important that our confession of what we're saying, we imbibe that confession. We don't just arbitrarily say certain things because, well, we're in the midst of believers, so I'll just say what they're saying. No. It is a personal gospel, but it is for the church to realize why we're here. And so it's important, and I'll break this down even simply, that this confession is not only, should not be mental assent, it is a decision, a willful decision, that we pledge our allegiance to oneself, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And our confession consists in believing that he came in the flesh. And we can start putting our scriptures up. In 1 John 4:2, it says, although his disciples, not Jesus, did the actual, no, 1 John 4:2. Sorry for that. As Ken is looking for it, I'll read it from the Message Bible. It says, here's how you can test the genuine Spirit of God. Everyone who confesses openly his faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who came as an actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. Thank you. So one of the things that we're exhorted to do is test the spirits, and we confess that Jesus is God incarnate. He came from heaven. He took on flesh. But it did not demote himself. He was totally God, totally man. Do you believe that? That should be your confession. Because in today's world, I don't know what they believe, but they don't believe in God. That's for one thing. That he's the Son of God, according to Matthew 8:29, John 1:3, 34 and 49, 1 John 4:15, which should be up here. 4:15. 1 John 4:15. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. What does your relationship look like? Because your relationship is based on what you believe, and what you believe you will confess to people. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he came and died for my sins. I believe it because he's changed my life, not because I'm somebody that God thinks is special. We're all special. And as much as he's changed my life, he wants to change everybody's life. That's why he died on the cross. So he is the Son of God. And he is Lord because He rose from the dead. In Romans 10, it says, say the welcoming word to God, Jesus is my master, embracing body and soul, God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. That is, you're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. The moment we stop trying to do things is the beginning when the Holy Spirit begins to do his work in us. And all of us should know that. Is that your confession? Because what you believe, you will confess. And so it comes back to our belief system. Our confession really has to coincide with what we believe. If we don't believe what we're articulating, we need to, one, get real with God, and two, repent, because it is the truth. It's impossible for God to lie. And so I'm giving you scriptures in a vernacular that we understand so that we don't have the religiosity of what's going on. Romans 10:9 really says in the Living Translation, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe us? That's what it's salvation. That's what it's saying there. Our confession is important in that we understand that we're not going to share something with somebody unless we believe it. Talk about sports. I can find out how passionate a person is in sports by what they say. I don't happen to coincide with the Jersey Devils, but okay, you know, we'll pray for your deliverance. Or the Dallas Cowboys. I'm on Team Jesus. Yeah, we pray for his deliverance all the time. And it's real important that we understand these things. And finally, we have to believe that Jesus became Lord because he rose from the dead. That's not enough. He ascended into heaven and now sits where? At the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for the saints, which is us. Do you believe this? 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, in the New Living Translation, it says, for instance, by using your heads, you know perfectly well that the Spirit of God would never prompt anyone to say, Jesus be damned. Nor would anyone be inclined to say Jesus is master without the insight of the Holy Spirit. Is Jesus your master? Is Jesus your king? These are all part of our confession. To confess Christ is to confess that he died for our sins, he paid for the penalty that is required by God and the law, and he gave us his life. And there was an exchange at the cross. Once we believe these things, he now lives in us. He took our dead life and made us alive in him. Do you believe this? Because that's what your confession is. Some years ago, Holly and I worked on a little thing called the Pledge of Allegiance to Jesus Christ. And I want to read that to you to remind you the realities of our confession. It says, I pledge my allegiance to Jesus Christ, the living word and ruler of the kingdom of heaven, and to God the Father, the creator and master of all. I pledge my allegiance to the Holy Spirit, acknowledging that his ways are pure and holy and higher than mine. Jesus is Lord, I am not. God is king, I am his servant. Born into his kingdom for good works, adopted as a son or daughter of the Most High, and anointed to walk in a way that is worthy of my call. I submit my life to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will make no room for the enemy. I refuse Satan to be comfortable in any area of my life. And though it costs me all I have, I will live for the glory of the name of the Lord. I bow my will to the King. I will love him, honor him, and obey him all the days of my life. Yesterday we heard from Pastor Sean from Word and Worship, and I was thinking that he was preaching my message. And I want to remind each and every one of us that God has destined us for greatness. He is for our success. He provides for our success. But we must believe that we are to be successful, because in believing that, he has anointed us to carry out whatever job task that he has set before us. Sometimes we look at our situation, our present situation, and we don't see greatness. We look at our circumstances and we don't see greatness in that. And God exhorts us to lift our eyes from our present situation and start focusing on him, because it is him who will make us great. We're already great because he saved us and we believed. Now, what he's calling for us to do is to confess that we are predestined for greatness in whatever ministry. I can recall some of the things. I can't really recall everything of my life before Christ. I know I was a liar. I know I was a thief. I knew that I was arrogant and prideful. I knew that we call that self-confident today, but it's being prideful. I knew that I could do anything I put my mind to. There was nothing to inhibit me. I used drugs. I worked a lot. I was involved in sports. And I did those things to cover up what was really wrong with me. And who would have thought that God would make me a pastor? Who'd have think of that? I didn't. That's why the scripture is real replete. Eye has not seen or ear heard the things that God has called you to. I couldn't imagine this, but slowly God was working within me to change my heart to a place that I've been walking with Christ for 30 some years. And I've learned a thing or two. But my confession has always been what Jesus has done, what Jesus will do, what Jesus wants to do. And I'm exhorting you to open your mouth up. Don't let the world shut your mouth into a negative confession. Confess Christ. Confess who he is to you. Confess what he's done for you. Confess where he's taking you. Confess that, because the hope that is in you, the world needs. Believe it or not. Greatness only comes when we submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. The first step of that is, you know, crying out to save me. That's the first of submitting. But there are too many believers today that believe, well, I submitted to Christ, I can still live my life the way I want to live it. And the fact of the matter is, how is it working for you? The truth of it is, Scripture talks about being faithful in little things, and Pastor Sean talked about that. If we do the little things and are obedient to that, God graduates us to the next level. It's called going from glory to glory through faith by faith. And I want to give you an example of this in 1 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 12, about an example of positive confession. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 12. This is the New Living Translation that I'm... The message is very close to us. And said, after this, the armies of the Moabites, the Amorites, and the Menuhites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. No one can stand against God. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as a war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. You hear the positive confession. The positive is not what they can do, it's what God can do. And now, we see the armies of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us. For they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. Several weeks ago, I came before the congregation because I was sensing us entering into a battle. And I asked the congregation to pray and fast until the music event was over. And at that time, all God's enemies were coming against us. And all of us, to one degree or another, fell under attack from the enemy. And as we interceded, God saw our need, saw what his enemies were doing to us, because we were involved in making preparations for Praise the Roof Off. And we have to understand that the devil wants all the praise. He doesn't want to give an ounce of praise to God. And so, the enemy used us in such a way to try to inhibit us from actually praising God. There were things that the enemy was doing that confused us. I didn't have answers, and no one else had answers, but I know who the answer is. We declared our need for God and to vanquish his enemies. They're not our enemies. They're his enemies. We declared our need of help from him so that we could properly understand what was going on and how we were to proceed. And in the end, God delivered us. God carried us from the point of our confusion to the evening that we had such a great turnout, wonderful worship to God. And this is just the beginning. We've all were there. We all saw what was going on. God has revealed many things to us about who we are, how to remain focused on him, no matter what is going on in our lives. Satan has done things so that we were to lose focus on what our objectives were. He wanted us to be instilled with fear. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And yet, God kept us firm. If we had done anything, we would not have been able to stand on such a rock of a foundation in our lives. Satan used people to question the integrity of our leaders, question the purpose of what's going on, had inhibited and held back information that was pertinent for us to make better decisions than where we were and what we did to make those decisions. And God revealed three things to us because the main thing was to draw the church together to be unified. And these three things are real imperative that we get straight before God. He revealed the sin of unbelief. We really don't believe what God says. And we need to repent. I was in meetings after meetings where people were asking us, well, do we give up? I said, no, we're going to see this thing through. God said we're going to do this. I'm not a rock. My knees were knocking just like anybody else's, but I know God. I didn't know the outcome and how it was going to turn out, but I know God. And if you guys know me, I'm not a person who gives up. I'll take the hits. I'll do whatever it needs to be done in order for us to succeed. And this was the first time that Streams did not succeed in accomplishing its goals. And like I said, the sin of unbelief was a big fear. It's another, oh, what do? We're afraid. We're this, we're that, you know. Yeah, well, fear is in the unknown. I know God, so I'm going to place my faith in God and see what he's going to do. And the last thing was independence. There is a spirit of independence within us that will not submit to the authority of the leadership, will not submit to God's authority, will not submit to doing anything that God says, because I don't have to. All three of these things were proactive in our lives to one degree or another, and all affects us. And we're all guilty. Where it says, the scripture, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. How much more do we need the grace of God to carry us through? These three things that inhibit us from moving further into God has a cost associated with it. Believe it or not, there's a cost. And Jesus tells us to count the cost. Are you willing to start and finish what's going on, no matter the cost? Or are you just saying you are? Because it comes down to your belief system. I'm blessed because, Christine, you don't understand. You actually are walking in prophetic protocol in submitting that word. And I want to commend you, because you don't know what the protocol is. I want to commend you in such a way that being open to God takes some risk. There are costs, but there's always a cost to our disobedience. It's always a reward for our obedience. But what is your confession? What are you saying? Here Jehoshaphat was acknowledging God, who is able to defeat the enemies, who was declaring how small he was, how confused he was. But he said to God, who is a God of a covenant, and he keeps his covenant no matter what. He was just, one, reminding God, who God doesn't need to be reminded of, but also he was trying to confess his faith in God. You see, we can have a relationship with Jesus, but we have not exacted the cost. The cost, and I've said this, is totality. It's going to cost you everything that you have and everything that you are to follow Jesus Christ. Everything that we have is His. We act like we're owners. We're stewards. He owns everything. My father owns the hills. He owns the cattle on the hills. He owns the planet. What he is trying to do is unify the church in these last days in such a way that he comes and takes his bride out of this thing. Can we believe that? One day he's going to split the eastern sky and he's going to come in and he's going to call us forward. This is but a small thing, but these are lessons we need to learn about faith and about ourselves. We're so fast to tell everybody about what they're doing wrong. And I can tell you, there isn't a week that doesn't go by that someone tells me, well, you ought to be doing this, Pastor. You ought to be doing that. And I'm just like, Okay. Until you are in those shoes, you don't know what you're talking about. And that's the truth. I hate to be hard, but it's the truth. And I'll take the hit. But let's face it, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you better listen to what he says, because he speaks to me too. And what has to happen is there has to be an alignment. You see, what we're after here is a kingdom culture. Jesus delivered us from the culture of the world, and yet we want to take the culture of the world and we want to exist in the kingdom. The kingdom is a reality where he's the king. We do what the king says. I'm not trying to be hard-nosed about anything. I let the Holy Spirit do his job. My job is to love you. As hard as that is. Sometimes. We're to love each other. But when we allow the enemy to use us against each other, we have failed to love as God loves us. And we have become unwitting participants in the enemy's ploy to destroy this work, to destroy your testimony, to destroy the expansion of the kingdom. There's many a Christian that believes God's angry with us. God is not angry with us. We need to stop looking at things and misinterpreting God's correction, because it says in Hebrews, whom God loves, He disciplines. And even though we've had to change the venue several times, God brought us to the place where He wanted us to be eventually. And thank God for speaking to people to make us aware what God wanted to do, because that would have been helpful information at the beginning, not at the end. God heard us. He delivered us. He took us to the finish line, and we praised Him, which is the ultimate goal. And a lot of times what we did was focus on other things, when we should have just remained focused on what God is doing and praising Him for that. Because your confession, what you are confessing, does matter. It matters. It matters when Jehoshaphat had everyone praying and fasting, and not everyone prayed and fasted. We understand that. I try to make it so easy. I found fasts in the Word of God to try to help people to a place, to come to a place where it was minimally disruptive to your life, to our lives. We were just asking to be committed for a short period of time. And we confessed the greatness of God. We confessed how awesome God is. We confessed our sins before God. And we stood firm. He refocused us. He is our foundation for life. He encouraged us. He blew away fear. And what we started, He helped us to cross the line to finish. He tried to get us to understand that unity, being unified, is one thing. The actual work is determined by the individual. And it's time for us as a church to unify. We can't unify ourselves to latch on to others, to try to work with others, until we're unified. And we have to understand this was the great exercise that God was teaching us. So we have some work to do to unify ourselves. Not religiously, but really in a practical way, to understand that God is waiting for us to get our acts together. And we have a lot of work to do. King David did something in numbering the people which God did not tell him to do, released a plague upon the people. And David was wrought with such compassion for the people that he knew that he needed to do something. He needed to sacrifice to God. And so, if you would put up the next scripture, in 1 Chronicles 21, 24, and 25, David goes to the threshing floor of Araunah. And he asked Arona, I want to buy your threshing floor. I want to buy everything in there. And Arona says, no, I can give you all this stuff. I can give you the oxen. I can give you the threshing floor. I can give you all this stuff for your sacrifice. And David replies, no, I'm not buying it from you. Or I'm buying it from you at the full price. I'm not going to offer God sacrifices that are no sacrifice. So David bought the place from Arunah for 600 shekels of God. We have people today who believe in sacrifice. They just don't believe in their sacrifice. David, being a leader, wanted to end this plague. And so he knew enough to sacrifice to God. And he knew that it was going to cost him something. And he was more than willing to pay the price to stop the assault against God's people. We have sacrificed. We have looked at the cost. And because of the sacrifice that was offered up, God worked on our behalf. What does your sacrifice look like? To each person, God is requiring a sacrifice. David paid the price. Christ paid the ultimate price. But there still remains a sacrifice that we must offer to God. And it can't be offering up a sacrifice by someone else's means. That has been going on for too long. Our gifts, our talents, are all given to us by God. I can't speak to you what that sacrifice is going to look like. But I can tell you this. Jesus made a big deal out of the widow who put in two mites. She believed enough that God was going to meet her needs the next day. She was all in. And that question was posed to me. Are you all in, Pastor? And I didn't flinch. I said, yes. And Holly was in that meeting. She knows. We're going to see this thing through. No matter what, we're going to see it through. I don't mean to make you uncomfortable. I want us to make corrections so that our confession is based on our beliefs, but also our relationship with God. Do you know who your God is? Do you know how awesome He is? Do you believe that He can do anything? Do you believe He can do everything? Where you are right now, and I've seen God work in your lives, because when I bring up your past and show you how God has worked in your life, you're like, I'm amazed. I get to see God change you. I get to love you as you get to love me. And I thank you for loving me. I'm not the easiest person to love. I've gone through some trials. I'm still not fully recovered. And I'm not making excuses. I keep pressing through no matter what. because I believe what God has spoken to me 25 years ago is now happening. I've waited patiently, persistently. I've confessed God's awesomeness and greatness and believed that one day He's going to do exactly what is happening in our midst. He's shown me. And I've shared this with many of you. In order to have dominion, we must be unified. We can't have dominion singularly in our personal lives without including dominion in all our lives. You're either in Christ or you're not. And what requires us to follow Jesus is everything. Are you willing to get real with Jesus to the point that you're not going to allow the enemy to lie to you anymore? You're not going to be fearful of anything anymore. You're not going to be out of focus anymore. You're going to stand firm, and you're going to, the work that He started in you, He says He will complete. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about loving God. And the more you fall in love with God, the more you change. The more you read and get your mind renewed, all these attitudes suddenly get washed away. Our belief system changes. Our confession changes. Do you want dominion? That's the question. Do you want dominion? Can you taste it? We sang, we're desperate for Jesus. Are you desperate for Jesus? I'm desperate for Jesus. I know my condition. And I need you guys to encourage me as I try to encourage everyone here. I know my job. I know that by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm not perfect, and I'm not striving for perfection. What I'm trying to do is run the race. I'm trying to finish better than what I started in. And I can't do it without you guys. Nor can you guys do it without us. Today is communion. Communion is a special time for me. Because I believe in the unification of the body of Jesus Christ. I wish more people would take the seriousness of what Jesus is trying to do with us. I would ask that we ask the teachers and the kids to come in. I would ask also the elders to take up the elements. I want you to know I'm not mad at anyone except the devil. I'm mad at him because of our ignorance to his wiles. I'm mad because we're not in unity. I'm mad because I don't get a chance to go home just yet. See, I exist here, but I don't live here. My home is in heaven. Where's your home at? These are all real questions, and I want us to get real. As the elements are being passed out, let the Holy Spirit examine your heart. Let him show you the area or areas that need correction, the attitudes that we're trying to hold on to, and our speech is trying to justify those attitudes when we're the ones wrong. We need to become adjusted to the King's wishes for us. Anything less is still filled with self. On our best days, we're selfish, arrogant, stiff-necked. On our bad day, we're arrogant, prideful, stiff-necked, fearful. But in Jesus Christ, we are made complete in Him. I want us to be unified. I want us to understand that that directive to pray and fast was from God. No. Take what you need. I asked them to come out here. Our unbelief has cost us dearly. Most of you will never know the cost. Our fear, whatever it is, has cost us dearly. Not just in our unity, but also in our decision making. Because we're afraid of the unknown. Wanting our independence has cost us dearly. Because we still want to do our own thing. And we don't want the King to tell us what to do. I'm sorry. But that's what you signed up for. For the King to ultimately tell you how He wants things done. But I can tell you this. Our obedience. May I have the elements, please? Our obedience comes with great reward. Thank you. Not only does it come with great rewards and great blessings, but it imparts great wisdom into us. And you've heard me say that I didn't get this smart because God opened my head and poured all the smartness into me. I became this smart because I made a lot of mistakes. I learned from those things. I learned what not to do, but also what to do. I jettison all attitudes so I can love from a pure heart. Before we partake, just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, have you confess those things, and have the blood of Christ wash them away. Where we are going, we need the kingdom's culture to be solidified with us. I don't want to see any of us miss what God has for us. What you believe is what you're going to confess. If you believe that Jesus died on a cross and was raised from the dead, you will make that positive confession. And that's the exhortation today, is confess what you believe. And if what you believe is doesn't line up with what God says, ask him to help you to believe. As the one person said, I believe, but help me, Lord, in my unbelief. As Jesus was delivering his son from a demon. God wants to help us. Always look at, you were created for greatness. And what you say, it doesn't matter what others say. It's what you say. It's what you believe that matters. Just like Jehoshaphat said, God, we're confused. We need your help. They want to throw us out of the land. There is a work against us here. There is a reality to it. I hate it. I was talking with Pastor Dan this morning, reminding me his encouragement is this is a process that all of us have to go through, but I have to be the first one. I hate it. But on the night he was betrayed, and we have all betrayed him, he broke the bread. He said, take, eat, everyone, for this is my body which is broken for you. Take, eat. Then he took the cup. He said, this is the blood of new covenant. We don't have a bunch of rules and regulations that we have to adhere to. We have two. We have two rules in this house. We will love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our mind, and with all our body. And the second one is to love our neighbor as ourself. Are we going to love each other? Are we going to jettison everything that the enemy has tried to put into us? Because let's face it, the reality of it is the enemy will use whatever we allow him to work in. In the new covenant, Jesus has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And that includes our attitudes, the way we think about things, the way we speak, the things we do. He has cleansed us. He is our Father. He is our friend. But we need to learn to serve, to become his friend. Because we don't know everything there is that's required of us in his house. So take, drink, everyone. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is going forth. I thank you that it will build. I pray that next week, Lord God, as we deal with listening, that you will build us. You will continue to build us. That in this building of us individually, that we will become unified. We will accomplish that which you have given to streams to accomplish. We will expand your kingdom. We will win the lost. We will do anything and everything because we are desperate. We are desperate to see you work in this way. God, we need you. More than ever, we need you because we're entering into a time now, Lord God, that requires us to grow up and become unified. We renounce the sins of unbelief. We renounce being fearful. We renounce the confusion and lost focus as to why we assemble we renounce that spirit of independence that keeps us from becoming unified. Father, have your way in us. Bring us closer together. Bring us to love each other as you love us. And all God's people said, amen. Go. Have a great day today. In Jesus' name.